Freund darf Task sein, Omid Base. So we saw in the Gemara yesterday, we're working out Oisik, the mitzvah, Potim and Amitzvah. And the Gemara said that a chassan, therefore, is exempt from saying Kriya Shema on the night of his wedding. The very fact that he has to consecrate the marriage means that he's considered an Oisik, the mitzvah. And we learn Oisik, the mitzvah, Potim and Amitzvah, from the pasuk, remember, belechtecha baderech, and belechtecha means beleches didcha. You're only obligated in Kriya Shema if you are involved in your own leches, in your own going. But if you're involved in a going of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is another way of saying in a mitzvah, then you are exempt from mitzvahs. This therefore gives us the klal of ha'isik b'mitzvah, potum and ha'mitzvah. So says the Gemara. My area hakoines es habasula. Why are you telling me? Remember, we were made a distinction between if somebody marries a basula, a woman who's never previously been married, as opposed to an almana, a woman who has previously been married. Now, both of them are surely considered to be a mitzvah. Whoever you get married to, it is a mitzvah. So either way, you should be considered an oisik b'mitzvah. So whether you marry a basula or an almana, l'chayra, you should be exempt from Kriya Shema. And yet we learned on Amud Aleph, you're only exempt from Kriya Shema if you marry a basula. So this is what the Gemara is asking. Yahachi, my iria. Iria means discussing. Why are we discussing hakoines es habasula? Afilu koines eso almona nami. So what's the difference between a basula and an almona? They are both a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, no. Hocha torid, v'hocha loy torid. One of them there is tirida. What does tirida mean? You are preoccupied. Somebody who marries a basula is torid, he's nervous. Somebody who marries an almona is not nervous. What does that mean? So here we have to explain. Firstly, there is a difference, a practical difference between marrying a basula and marrying an almana. If somebody marries a basula, then there is extra nervousness. This can be explained in a couple of ways, but one way is you're worried that when you makayim the mitzvah, you consecrate the marriage with her, will you indeed discover that she is, after all, a basula? So you're very nervous. Maybe it'll turn out that she's in fact not a basula, which means she's had relations with somebody else. What's going on? Whereas an almana, you're not nervous because you're not expecting her to find, you're not expecting to find her basula as well. Therefore, there's no tirida. Now, we have to explain over here. What has tirida got to do with oisik b'mitzvah? Ha'oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha'mitzvah. If I'm shaking a lulav, I don't need to give tzedakah, for example, to a poor man who knocks on my door because I'm oisik b'mitzvah. Whether I'm torud or not is totally irrelevant. At the end of the day, I'm oisik b'mitzvah. So why all of a sudden are we bringing torud? Why are we bringing that factor now onto the table? And the answer is, you'll remember that yesterday we discussed, and this is a very big chiddush, this whole halacha. Why is it a big chiddush? Because he's not at the moment in the middle of being oisik b'mitzvah. He's going to be. It's true, this is the wedding night, but he's not now actively in the middle of being makayim the mitzvah. He's going to be makayim the mitzvah. So why should he be exempt from Kriya Shema? He can be makayim the mitzvah at any time, all night. So the answer is, this is why tirida comes in. If you are about to shake a lulav and an oni knocks on your door, then obviously you've got to give stocker to an oni. If he knocks on the door whilst I'm in the middle of shaking the lulav, that's a different story. Now I'm oisik the mitzvah. Whereas over here, it is not the practical involvement in the mitzvah, because at the moment you're not involved in the mitzvah. Rather, it is the tirudah which comes about as a result of the upcoming mitzvah, which exempts you. And that's why the Gemara says, if that's the case, there's a difference between an almona and a basula. An almona you are not nervous about, you're not preoccupied, whereas a basula you are. Says the Gemara, third line, I mishum tirda. One second. If you're telling me that it's tirda, which means you are preoccupied, and that's the basis for the whole exemption, then what would be afilu tovo svinosoi bayam? If somebody's boat sank in the water, imagine you just get an email, I'm sorry to tell you, your cruise liner that you've just invested $50 million in has just sunk. Safe to say that you would be tarud. No, you should be potter from Kriya Shema now, because you're tarud. If you tell me that preoccupation, being tarud, is a reason to exempt somebody from a mitzvah, even though he's not oisik b'mitzvah, like our chosn. This chosn is not currently being oisik b'mitzvah, but he's tarud. Ah, tirida is an exemption? Well, somebody whose boat has sunk is also tarud. Says the Gemara, so does that mean that somebody whose boat has sunk is potter from Kriya Shema? Because if that's the case, afilu tova sviyase b'yam nami, alomo. So why, Omar Rav Abba bar Zavda, Omar Rav Ovel, somebody who is Rachmona Litzlan and Ovel, a close member of his family has just passed away. And what does it say? Chayev b'chol mitzvois ho'amurois b'toiro. Somebody who is sitting shiva, he's chayev in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Besides, chutz min ha'tefillin. Tefillin is exempt from, at least on the very first day, shehari ne'mar bohen pe'er. Because tefillin are described as a pe'er, it's a posuk in the Novi, shenema pe'ercho chavush olecho. It is inappropriate when a person is on the first day of Avelos to be wearing tefillin which are described as a pe'er. Okay, but besides for that, an ovel is chayev in all mitzvahs. Now, one second. Can't we assume that an ovel is torud? He's just heard tragically that a close member of his family has passed away. He's on the first day of the Shiva. He's extremely preoccupied. His mind is all over the place. You can hardly call him relaxed, serene, calm. He's not. And yet, we have a mafurish of Mishnah, Brisa, that says he's chayev b'chol ha-mitzvahs. So what is the difference between a chosn, who's torud and is exempt, as opposed to an ovel, and so too somebody whose boat has just sunk, who's also torud, and we've never heard that they're potter from mitzvahs? To the contrary, it says an ovel is chayev b'mitzvah. So what's the difference? Says the Gemara, the difference is very simple. Chosam tirda de rashus, hocha tirda de mitzvah. Preoccupied tirda is not itself enough of a reason to exempt you from mitzvahs. It has to be that you're preoccupied with a mitzvah. So it is related, it's a first cousin of the exemption of oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Oisik b'mitzvah means you are currently involved in the performance of the mitzvah. And tarud means, even though you're not actively involved at the moment in the mitzvah, but you are preoccupied, you are nervous about the mitzvah you're about to perform. So it all comes from the mitzvah, as opposed to somebody whose boat has sunk. It's very unfortunate, and we feel very sorry for him, and it's true, he's very torud. But that's not a torud de mitzvah, that's a torud de rishus. Even an ovel, who tragically is also preoccupied, but there's no mitzvah to be preoccupied, can put himself together. Whereas in the case of the chassan, he can't put himself together because, to the contrary, he's got a mitzvah he's about to perform.
So can we come back? So we can come back to the issue of Basula versus Nalmana. That based on that principle, wouldn't you say, can't we say that a Basula and an Almana are in the same category of Tarid?
No, because even though it's true, they are both Bat Mekayim Mitzvah, but the Almana case does not make you Tarid at all.
Okay.
It's not nothing to be nervous about.
Okay.
So you need two factors. It's got to be both a mitzvah and also torah. In the beginning, the Gemara thought it was all about a mitzvah. So both a basula and almana are both a mitzvah. The Gemara said, no, torah. Ah, so we thought it's all about torah. Gemara says it's actually about both.
Okay.
It has to be a terda de mitzvah. So you need two factors in place. So the boat sinking and the almana case are two halves of one coin, i.e. they both have only one factor. The boat sinking is torud, but it's not a mitzvah. The almana is a mitzvah, but it's not torud. Which is the only case when you have a tirada de mitzvah? The answer is somebody who's marrying a basula. If he's marrying a basula, so he's both a mitzvah and there's also tirada. So it's very, very important to remember, tirada in itself is actually not a reason to exempt somebody from a mitzvah. If somebody is very, very preoccupied, he's very worried, he's very concerned, he's very anxious about whatever it may be, his boat just sank, he's just got an enormous phone bill, it makes no difference. He's chayv b'chol mitzvah, just like an ovel is. But if he's preoccupied because of a mitzvah, then he's exempt, and that's not very far off from the patur of oisik b'mitzvah, potum b'mitzvah.
So that would mean also in the case of somebody who's an onain, then he would be potter, right? Because he's still oisik b'mitzvah in terms of bearing the mace.
Right. An oinin is indeed exempt from all mitzvahs. And some explains, yes, you're quite right, because he's an oisik b'mitzvah. When we talk about an oval, we're talking about after the kavura. The oinin is oisik b'mitzvah because he's got to arrange the funeral, he's got to arrange the levaya. But after the levaya, on the first of Avelas, there's nothing to arrange. So it's true, he's very torah, but he's not torah b'mitzvah. Now,
actually,
there's no Rashi over here, as we saw yesterday. Sorry, will you go, David?
It's okay. I'm just going to ask, after my father's patira, we came back from the Levaya, from the Kavura, and then that afternoon we put on tefillin. So it was, even though it was the first day of Shiva, but it was after the Kavura, so we were no longer pater from tefillin.
Was your father nifter on that day or on a different day?
No, my father was nifter early that morning, and we did the kavura later, closer to noon.
You should not put on tefillin.
No?
One does not put on tefillin on the first day. There is a machloikas. If somebody passes away today and the levaya is only tomorrow, then some say you do put on tefillin, even that the general minig is not to, the mishabura says not. But if it's all the same day, then one should not be wearing tefillin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the truth is, there's not so much Rashi to be seen there in Daf Yud Aleph. So either way, it turns out that we now have the complete sugya. There are two Peturim, but they're not so unrelated. They're quite connected. Ha'oseik b'mitzvah potur min ha'mitzvah and ha'torud b'mitzvah potur min ha'mitzvah. Both, if you are actively involved or you are preoccupied with a mitzvah, then you're exempt from other mitzvahs. But if you are actively involved in something which is just a rishus, so too if you're preoccupied with something which is a rishus, then you are not exempt from mitzvahs.
Can the Rav give another example or two of tarid? Like if I'm going to be the Baal Musaf, and I'm nervous and I'm practicing a niggun, am I putter from Kriyas HaTorah? Like,
maybe not, because you don't have to be the Baal Musaf. Somebody else can do it.
So what's another example of tarid?
Like in this case, you're extremely nervous for some reason about shaking your lulav. You're extremely worried that maybe my lulav is going to be puzzle, and maybe during shaking it's going to break, and I've got a pitum, which is extremely fragile, and I'm very, very, very nervous. And it comes as monk Kriya Shema, so according to this, you'll be exempt.
So tarid can be applied on an individual basis.
Right. You're right. In a normal case, it shouldn't apply. Okay, let's just have a look at the top Tosfos. Ihochi, the Gemara asks, why are we differentiating between a basuna and an almona? I omrit bishloima, says Tosfos, if you would tell me the tama mishum tirida, and it's all about the difference between being preoccupied or not, then shapir. Then I would understand why there's a difference between a basuna and almona. Ela me'achar shu toil ha'tam the mitzvah, comma, but now that you've told me that the reason is because of the mitzvah, so almona nami, so surely almona should be the same. And that's what the Gemara is asking, answering, no, it is about tirida, providing that it is a tirida de mitzvah. We mustn't forget, by the way, the Mishnah Amud Aleph. This is an exemption. It doesn't mean there's an issa to say Kriya Shema. And that's why we saw in the Mishnah that when Rabban Gamliel got married, he did say Kriya Shema. It's an exemption. If you don't want to exercise your exemption, then you're fully welcome to say Kriya Shema. Okay, let's begin the next sugya. This is the final sugya in the parak. Says the Mishnah, Rochatz Lailo Horishay. Shemeso Ishtoi. This is a continuation of Rabban Gamliel. We were told that Rabban Gamliel, in the last Mishnah, he married and he said Kriya Shema. Another story with Rabban Gamliel, that he washed himself on the first night of the Shiva for his wife. Rochatz Lailo Horishoim. He washed himself, he bathed on the first night following his wife's patira. Amruloi Talmidov. So his Talmidim said to him, what's going on? Limadateinu Rabbeinu. Surely our Rebbe, meaning you, taught us she'ovel osur lirchoitz. But an ovel is also to bathe. So what's going on? You yourself taught us that an oval is not allowed to have a shower or a bath or any type of bathing, and we see this is exactly what you are doing, but you told us you're not allowed to. What's going on? Omalohem. So he said to them, Eini kashar b'nei adam. I am not like other people. Why not? Istanis ani. What does that mean? Istanis means I'm a very cleanly, fussy person. I cannot take not washing myself. Look at Rashi, top Rashi. Rochatz Lailo Rishon Shemeso Ishtoi V'nikbara Boi Bayoim. She got buried that very day. V'afal Pi She'ovel Osa Berechitza. Even though an ovel is absolutely not allowed to wash himself, Nonetheless, who rochatz? But he did wash himself. Why? Kedomar taima, as he explained the reason, istanis ani, quote unquote. I'm an istanis. Vehu odom mu'unog. What is the word mu'unog like from the word oineg? Umafunak, he's a delicate, fussy person. Now we need to understand, so what? Why does that give him all of a sudden an exemption? He's a very, very clean person and he can't stand not having a rechitza. But say it, but what should you do? Rechitza is also for an oval. So how are we to understand that because he's an istanis, suddenly he's going to be have a heter? Why should he have a heter? So if you look at Tosfos, Tosfos says, istanis ani ve'iketzar. He will be in pain, in distress, im loy hoyo roichets, if he would not bathe himself. So what? It's too bad.
What would he have done in the 9 days?
Oh, same question. The place can connect it. I'll tell you in a second. It says Tosfos, the einoy osur lirchoitz bimei evloy. It is only osur to take a bath, a shower, a rechitza during the days of avelos. Elo mishum tainug. This is a very, very important halacha, and as Rabbi Yehuda mentions, exactly the same is true in the 9 days. And actually on Tisha B'Av as well, and to an extent on Yom Kippur as well. Which means, the reason why we are permitting him to have a rechitza, or more accurately, the reason why he's permitting himself to have a rechitza, don't make a mistake. It's not because he's going to be in distress, and therefore we feel sorry for him. So we're going to give him special dispensation because we feel very, very sorry. That's not the heter. What is the heter? The heter is that there is no issa. Why is there no issa? Because the issa is only to have a rechitza shel tainug. What does that mean, a rechitza shel tainug? If you're bathing yourself for the sake of pleasure, that is the issa, a pleasure bath. But if somebody has a rechitza, why? Because if he doesn't, he'll be betza'ar. That's nothing to do with pleasure. So very, very important to make that distinction. It's not because he's going to be betza'ar and therefore we feel sorry for him. Rather, in the event that he's doing a rechitza to avoid tsar, that's nothing to do with what Chazal prohibited. Chazal prohibited a rechitza shel tainug. So you're quite right, Rabbi Yehuda. The same applies in the 9 days. Especially in this country. This is, of course, probably the most commonly asked question during the 9 days. When the 9 days over here is literally the height of the summer. Chodesh Av, July, August. Not to have a shower for 9 days straight. A person will want to have a shower, not because of tainug. So otherwise, it's extremely unpleasant. It could be an inyan of kavod habrias and totally impractical. So he's not doing it for pleasurable reasons. So every single year when I give a shir on the 9 days, I always quote the most magnificent line in the tshuvas of the Shevet HaLevi, which is Rav Ozna, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And Rav Ozna writes a most wonderful definition. And he says, if somebody is absolutely boiling hot and he feels he's uncomfortable and very sticky, etc., etc., then indeed, if he's taking a shower, not for purposes of pleasure, but just to avoid distress, then it will be mutter. But then he adds, Vahadovor mosur lelev yore shomayim mosai lohokel bazen. He says every Yorei Shomayim will have to decide for himself exactly when one should be lenient and when one should not. Which is another way of saying, this is the way I always express it in the Shia. When you're there in the shower, there is nobody else there in the world besides for you and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You would have to give an honest accounting of, am I taking a shower for pleasure, or am I taking a shower because I'm just doing to avoid tzar? And it all depends on the level of a person's Yirah Shemayim. So I always announce in a shir, I do not want any phone calls during the 9 days. Every person has to decide for himself. This is the definition, now you apply it appropriately. A very practical application of this is, of course, if a woman has to go to the mikveh and prepare herself, obviously that's all permitted. Because there, the reason why she has to take a bath and a shower is nothing to do with pleasure. She's doing it purely for halachic reasons because that's what the halacha requires. So again, that's not the issa. But somebody who's not washing themselves for halachic reasons. Similar shaila, for example, somebody who regularly goes to mikveh. Even a man, every day he goes to the mikveh. He's allowed to in the 9 days as well. Why? He's not doing so for pleasure. He's doing so because that's the halacha, that's the minig. So that's always a definition. So of course, the gray area becomes when you're it's on a mikveh, rather you're taking a shower in the comfort of your own home. Each person has to give their own personal accounting. Nobody will ever know what happened behind closed doors except you and the rabbi initially.
I remember hearing Rav Bess in Los Angeles say that someone once asked him if he's allowed to take a shower during the 9 days. Why not? And Rav Bess said, would you take a shower if you were sitting shiva for your father? And the person said no. So Rav Bess said, it's the same thing.
Right. Right. 100%. And we're going to see, well, not today, we'll see this tomorrow, but in the Tosis that we're learning now, Tosis compares exactly as you just mentioned. Tosis, in fact, compares Avelos to the Halachas of Tisha B'Av. It's all the same. You're quite right. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach wrote the same. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, this is written in Alicha Shlomo, used to sigh with disappointment at the amount of shailas he gets during the 9 days. He said he gets far less shailas when somebody, Rahman al-Itzlan, is sitting shiva. I recently, there's somebody in our shul, unfortunately, who's now in Avelos. I had a bunch of shailas recently. And one of them, a more recent shaila, was more complicated. So I was discussing it with my uncle, Rav Zange in B'nai Brak. My uncle told me a very, very clever thing. He said to me, and this is again, what you're mentioning. He said, next time this person asks a shaila, is this mutter, is that mutter, is this asa? It's 100% legitimate to ask the question. But first, just remind him that the inyan of Avelus, his mother passed away, the inyan of Avelus is kibud aim. Now he can ask the question. All of a sudden, you look at it as a different light. If you realize that the inyan of Avelus is a matter of kibud aim, then hopefully he's not going to start looking for every single heta under the sun. It may well be that something's our mutter, 100% legitimate to ask. But bear that in mind, he said to him. Bear that in mind that this is an issue of kibud aim. So we will see, in fact, let's just carry on for a minute or two. We'll see if Tosis does compare this. Go back to the beginning of Tosis again. Ve'ikatzar, there is distress in loy hayoreichetz. And Tosis emphasizes that the heter is not therefore because we feel bad for him, rather the einoy osur lirchetz bimeev loy elo mishum tainug. The is says only if it's being done for tainug purposes. Says Tosis, the gam lochuf roishoy. So too to lochuf means to scrub. So too to scrub his head, e isle arvuvia beresha. If he's got arvuvia, arvuvia is some sort of lice in his hair. So why is he scrubbing his hair? Not for tainug. He's just doing it because he's in extreme discomfort because he's got this arvuvia crawling around in his hair. So what's the halacha? Sorry. It's therefore permitted afilu toich shiva. Even during the shiva. Why? Same reason, as we just said. Just like Rabban Gamliel took a shower even during the shiva, So too, if somebody is washing his head, why? Because he's got aravuvia, it would be muta. Now here, this is a classic case in point. If you would phone up his rav and he would say, I've got an extremely itchy hair, I think I've got lice, can I wash my hair? The rav will say, it's muta. But that doesn't suddenly mean you can have a full-blown shower. Whatever's necessary is necessary. That's the head and the head only. And that's what Rav Osner was saying. It's all an issue of Yerushalayim. So a person will have to judge for himself which parts of my goof are uncomfortable and sticky and they need to be cleaned. People very often ask in the 9 days, if I get very hot and sticky, okay, I'm allowed to have a minimal shower. Can I do so with soap? And the answer is, it's the same answer. It depends why you're using the soap. If in all honesty, you're so sticky, it will not go without soap, well, then it will be mutter. If you think to yourself, well, once I'm in the shower, I might as well use soap and shampoo and conditioner, that's a lack of Yerushalayim. Nobody will ever know. So we'll continue this Tosis tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, and we'll see if Tosis compares it. We'll see it to Tisha B'Av and other halachas. Be'ez Hashem, will continue tomorrow.
Yishakoach.
All the best.
Have a good day.